in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, he begins chapter 12 by saying that we're going to begin a discussion now of spiritual things. The list includes the spiritual nature of the church in chapter 12, the importance of our motives in chapter 13, the function of spiritual gifts in chapter 14, and our own resurrection in chapter 15. These are spiritual subjects, and the Corinthians had misunderstood a lot of it. I'm hoping here at Clarence that we can get these things straight in our minds. God is a genius. Before he created anything, before he created the heavens and the earth, before Genesis 1:1, before he made Adam and Eve, God had a specific plan. God made everything in the physical universe to help us understand spiritual reality. God's method of designing it was to make things that we could see to help us understand principles into the things we couldn't see, which were real. All of God's creation is a giant show and tell about spiritual reality. The psalmist said, "The heavens are declaring, they're telling about the glory of God. The earth shows his handiwork. The earth, down here where we are and where we would live, God has jammed full of lessons about himself and spiritual things." How tragic in our public schools that science is not taught that way. Science should be taught to our children as discovering truth about the Creator and everything he made. In the Roman letter, Paul said that all of creation was designed to teach us about God's attributes. All this stuff that we examine and deal with and look at and test, all of it was designed to tell us about God's power, God's attributes, God's nature. Geology is about God. Astronomy is about God. Agriculture is telling us things about God. Anatomy is telling us about God. Chemistry is telling us about God. Physics is telling us about God. Mathematics, the science of relationships, things compared to things through a system, tells us the orderliness of God and how he structured his universe. Well, for example, seeds teach us, seeds that we plant in the ground, seeds teach us that we have to die before we can grow. Until we die to ourselves, we cannot grow to become what God created us to be. Selfish people remain childish all of their lives. Selfish people never grow up. We have to die to ourselves to grow. Seeds also teach us about life after death. The truth is, God brings new life out of things that are buried, whether you bury a seed in the ground or bury a body of a person. God is going to bring new life out of things that are buried. God built illustrations and lessons into nature to help us understand spiritual reality. Another lesson from creation. God made two kinds of people, male and female, men and women. Now, why would he do that? Wouldn't one kind have been sufficient, or why not three or four kinds? And the plan was that if God made these two kinds, and they would get married and become and live as one, united, then that would give us an understanding that God made nature to picture how Christ would relate to his own church and how people and Christ could have this closeness and oneness. So the Bible pictures Christ as the groom, the church as the bride. And as you and I are a part of the church, the bride of Christ, we have made a commitment to him for life, richer or poorer, better or worse, sickness or health, to love and to cherish till we die. A commitment, a oneness, a relationship, illustrated in marriage, but designed to teach us about our relationship to our Lord. Another example from creation, and this is the one that Kenny read about. This is the one that the Apostle Paul chose to use in a discussion in Corinthians chapter 12. God created the human body to teach us that each one of us fits into the church family. This is the lesson that Paul presents, and it's about human anatomy, so to speak. God is a genius. The human body is an amazing unit of a whole lot of different parts. Your body has 206 bones, 650 muscles, a pump that can pump 75 gallons per hour through 60 6,000 miles of pipeline. Your body has a hard frame structure inside made up of living bones that have amazing strength. Did you know that no research scientist has ever discovered a material as well suited for the structure of the body as the bone structure that God gave us? Back in 1867, right after the Civil War, an engineer demonstrated that the arrangement of bone cells forms the lightest possible structure made of the least possible material to support the most possible weight without breaking or giving way. And in 130 years, nobody has ever challenged his findings. Nobody's ever found anything that works better than the bones that God designed. But that's only the beginning. Using a weight-saving principle that took architectural engineers 1,000 years to discover, God, after forming this solid structure, hollowed out the inside of the bones. And then God filled the vacant space inside the bones with a red blood cell factory that produces 1,000 billion new blood cells per day, 1 trillion a day. Bones are amazing parts of our body, but you don't see them very often. You hope you don't see your own. And then once in a while, at Halloween, you'll see a skeleton strung up somewhere intended to scare us, but they're not really scary. Skeletons are one of God's masterpieces of creative genius. And that's only the beginning. There's so much in what God has built for us to learn from. He put 26 bones in each foot. During a soccer game, a soccer player pounds his feet with his own weight until he has pounded tons and tons of weight on each foot in hurried duration. And the bones endure the violent stress. Some of us don't play soccer. I don't play soccer. But the average person walks about 65,000 miles in a lifetime. And our architecturally perfectly designed arches in our feet serve as springs while our knees and ankles bending absorb stress. God is a genius. He made what he made to illustrate things we couldn't see so that we'd know about spiritual reality. Each part of our bodies is magnificently designed to meet the needs of the whole body. We have two incredible eyes that focus instantly at any distance. You glance down, you glance up. Focus. You remember that camera commercial a while back? This camera company said, nothing focuses faster except the human eye. Two ears with tiny little bones inside each middle ear. These little bones are not like the other bones in the body. All the other bones in a human body grow proportionately with the body from our birth through old age. But the bones that transmit sound in the ear do not grow from birth until we die of old age, because God is a genius. God made the human body with its many parts to illustrate the spiritual body, which would have many parts. The spiritual body of Christ is called the church. God made our human body because he wanted you and me to understand his church. In verse 27 of the verses that Kenny read, Paul told the members of the Corinthian church, you people, you men and women and young people, are the body of Christ. You are. And individually, members of the body of Christ. Now that is the first of the three lessons I want to present to you today. Every Christian has a place in the church. Every Christian has a part in the church. We are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Mike Bowers is a member of the Lord's body. Gary Zemper, a member of the Lord's body. My wife Carolyn's a member of the Lord's body. You, Christian people, are members, parts of the spiritual body of Christ. All of this began when you were baptized. If you have your Bible open, look at verse 13. Chapter 12, verse 13. We were all baptized into one body. Baptism brings us into the body of Christ. Paul put it right in there when he was talking about the body. That's how we became a part of the body of Christ. There is not one verse in the Bible that says we believe our way into the body. There's no verse that says we pray our way into the body. There's no verse that says we earn our way into the body. The Bible says we are baptized into the one body. Baptism is the new birth. Baptism is the new beginning. Baptism is the fresh, clean start into a new life. God is a genius. He knew that we would sin, and he knew that we would have guilt feelings, and we'd be troubled inside, and we'd have this bad feeling about our own selves. And God knew that with our sin and guilt, we would need something definite and something real and physical and spiritual to assure us that we were forgiven and welcome before him. So God invented baptism to make us clean. God invented baptism to make us one. God invented baptism to make us members of his body, his family. Paul was telling the Corinthians, you really are the body of Christ. And he's implying, and you better act like it. We're all in this together. In verse 12, as the body is one and yet has many members, so also is Christ, many members in one body. Wonder of wonders, God's plan was to reunite the human race in one great, godly, Christian family, to put all of mankind back together in a close-knit, peaceful, mutually respecting, loving relationship. So lesson number one today is, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Every one of you in Christ have a part. You have a place. You're a member. You belong. The second lesson that I want to focus on is in verses 24 and 5. God composed the human body so that there is no division of its members. I mean, if your foot hurts, you can't take it off and leave it home for the day. You're united. There's no division here. This thing is a unit, and it doesn't come apart only at its own peril or disaster. God made the body so there is no division. In fact, he says, every member has the same care for the other members. And that means to me that we all have partners in life, and we all have helpers in life. As members of his body, all the rest of the members will help us when we stumble or fall or have a need. Like our physical bodies, we stay alive by taking care of the other parts of the body. When any part of the body has a problem, every effort is made to heal and restore that part, and all the other parts are limited or incapacitated or involved to avoid amputation of the part that is hurting or sick. If one member suffers, all members suffer until that member is healed again. My dad told me a story years ago when I was a little guy, and it was about one of my uncles. And it was so strange. I had never heard such a thing as this. Dad told me that one of my uncles had this peculiar habit when they were boys. Dad said his younger brother would limp when he walked, no matter what part of his body hurt. My Uncle Melvin, if he had a sore ankle, would limp because of his sore ankle. But he would limp with a toothache. He would limp with an earache. He would limp when his stomach hurt. He would limp if he cut his finger. He limped every time he hurt. I guess he just wanted everybody to know he was hurting. And that was one easy way to get the message out there. I'm suffering right now. And I thought, boy, that is really an exaggerated reaction to pain. But when any member of our body is sick or injured, the whole body suffers with it. So when one of our young people misses school because of a sprained ankle or a sore throat, the whole body is limited by that one member or one part's suffering. And even if the child wanted to go to school because they're having an all-day field trip to Toronto, can't go. Whole body has to stay home because one member is suffering or sore. And as verse 26 says, if one member is honored, all the members rejoice. Every once in a while, somebody gives you a pat on the back, you know, and sometimes that's physical and sometimes it isn't, but sometimes people just pat you on the back. When somebody compliments you or gives you a pat on the back, what happens? Well, you smile and you stand up a little bit taller and your eyes sparkle and you feel good all over because you got a pat on the back. There is no jealousy because the back gets all the pat and the right hand gets all the handshakes. There's no division here. The body is a unit. There's no division in the body. Bad times or good times, we're one body, united in Christ, united in love. So lesson number one is every Christian has a part or a place in the body of Christ. Second lesson is no Christian divides himself from the body but stands together with the body in whatever they're having in the way of experience. Now to the last lesson for today, in verse 7. Let's go all the way back to verse 7. Kenny didn't read verse 7, but it's a part of the larger context of this discussion. In verse 7, to each one is given a gift from the Spirit of God to be used for the common good. Every part has an ability, a gift, a function, a reason for being there, but not just for itself, but for the common good. It means that every one of us has a purpose or a function in God's church. I hope you understand this morning that whatever it was that God gave you in the way of ability, He intended that you would use for His church and its ministry to mankind. God made you the way He made you so that you could be a part of a larger organism, a larger living being, His spiritual body, in order to function. God created the human body with many parts so that each part could help the other parts. And so my eyes tell my feet where it is safe to step. My feet carry my body where I need to go, and my eyes and my ears keep trying together to learn about life for the common good of my whole person and whole being, and my heart pumps blood to keep my fingers warm and my toes warm and fed, and my fingers bring food to my mouth, which is nourishing for the common good of every member of the body. And Paul paints an awesome picture of the ingenious thing that God had created as a physical illustration of how He wanted the church to function. And the point is, no gift, no ability of any one part is just for that one part. God didn't give you anything just for you. What God gave you, He intended to be shared in the common good of the whole. God created the human body with its many parts, helping each other to illustrate how the spiritual body of the church shares life together. Life will be better for you and me, and we'll be a lot happier doing the things we do once we see the connection between what God gave us in the way of ability and what He wants His church to do in a local community. Some people in Corinth didn't think they were worth very much. There were members of the church at Corinth that didn't feel very important. That was tragic because it wasn't true. They didn't understand that. God did not make any worthless or unimportant people. He didn't make any worthless or unimportant parts of our body. It's all designed to function and be a part of the whole. In our church, members have different functions, all for the common good. So, here at Clarence, what happens in ministry? Well, some people go to mission fields, and some people go to hospitals, and some people go to broken homes, and some people go to the city of Buffalo, and some people go to nursing homes, and some go to jails, and some go to the lost, and some go to youth conventions, and some go to the sick, and some go to the poor with food and clothing and furniture. Some parts of our body teach children music. Some parts of our body teach teenagers morals. Some parts of the body of Christ here teaches adults the truth about Christ. Some parts of our body teach dads how to be dads. And some parts of our body don't teach anybody anything, but they do other things. And they are good listeners, and they're caring friends, and they pray constantly, and they're good at loving others, and they're generous with dollars, and generous with time, and generous with love. And the body functions and grows. So who's the MVP of the Clarence Church of Christ? Who's the most valuable player on the team here? And my answer is, based on what the Bible says, everybody is MVP. Everybody, most valuable player. Everybody in the body matters. We're all members of the body of Christ, and no member is expendable. These three lessons are vital aspects of our relationship to Christ. You will become more mature in Christ as you understand these key principles based on the physical creation of the body God gave you, so you would understand all of this about His spiritual body, the church. Everyone has a part in the body. Everybody has a partner helping him in the body. Everybody has a purpose in the body of Christ. Have you found your purpose? Do you know, have you seen yet clearly what you can do to contribute to the strength and functioning of the body? Now, if any of you who are members of our church don't know what it is that you could do to contribute to the whole, boy, would a bunch of us like to have dialogue with you and just
get to know you and hear what you have to say and talk about things and together search for and find that unique place where God can use you best to advance the cause of Christ here. When each member does what God blessed him with the ability to do, God himself is honored and we accomplish his goodwill among men. The purpose for which God gave us gifts and abilities is to serve other people in the name of his Son. And when we do it all together, it's beautiful and it's productive. To see a church unit, a group of people who love each other and are serious, and everybody shares, and we're all in it together doing what God called us to, that is a beautiful thing to see. I can't skate. I was raised in a country where they didn't have that much ice, and I never learned to skate. And every once in a while on my television set, there'll be some man and woman team, or there'll be a young guy, a young gal, skating. I don't know what to call it. It's a professional skating or something. They get out there on the ice. And they do things I can't believe. And it is so beautiful to watch the body do what it is capable of doing. And that just amazes me. And I think God looks at the Clarence Church and he watches us as we skate through our ministry and we do these things. And God says, oh, I like that. Boy, what a move that was when they did that. And oops, they stumbled or they recovered. And look what they're doing. And I'm saying to you that when this church body functions the way God intended, it will be both beautiful to see for him and us to watch, and it will be productive. We don't allow skating in our kitchen, but Carolyn goes in there and as a chef, she just prepares these meals and she just makes it come out so good. She's so productive in the kitchen. I like it when she's in the kitchen. If she needs anything for the kitchen, I'm for paying for whatever she wants for the kitchen because produces good stuff, see? And when the body does what it can do, what God designed it to do, it's beautiful and it's productive. It's as beautiful as music. It is productive as a carpenter. It's as beautiful as friendship. It's as productive as telling people about Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful creation of an ingenious God. And our church is growing because so many members of our body are doing things that God enabled them to do. And here's what I've discovered. It just feels so good when you know your life counts for Christ. And you can't do everything. You can't do many things, maybe. I never felt like I could do very much, but if there's something I can do and I contribute that, I do what I can do for the Lord. And I feel so good inside that I counted. I did something that was for him, and it made a little difference. And when you discover what you can do for the Lord, you're going to feel so good that your life counts for Christ. If you're not a part of the body of Christ, please think carefully. Today, this Sunday, March 2nd, 1997, today is a gift of time that God gave to you. It is a gift of time because he wanted to give you another chance to surrender your life to him. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, why not be baptized in obedience to what he has given in instruction for the forgiveness of your sin, that you might be added as the new member in the body of Christ here? You were born to be in his family. Don't you want to be in his family? The hymn that I've selected is 451, but you don't even need the book to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. 451, if you want it. Let's stand together and sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back.